Welcome back to Duskwall. This is the end of season one. Those of you who have been listening to the Magpies from the beginning, or at least from pretty close to it, might remember that the first few episodes originally went up without a season in the title. That's because I didn't know if there were going to be seasons. I had no idea how long this would last, or if anyone would even listen. So the fact that I'm getting ready to post the season one finale with several episodes of season two already edited is amazing. I am so grateful to my players, my friends, and to all of you. Thank you so, so much for listening. This might be the end of the first season, but we're just getting started. We have so much more story to tell. A quick note about today's episode. You might notice that there's an NPC whose name randomly switches. This is because we messed up and forgot her name and renamed her. For purposes of canon, the second name is the one that we're going with. Sorry if this causes any confusion. Some other announcements. First, tune in to the Roll for Change stream on October 20th. They are doing a charity stream to support the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and I'm going to be GMing a spooky pre-Halloween game of Blades. Minna will be joining me, as will friend of the show and guest star Waffles, along with a couple of new players. Our stream will be starting at about 3 p.m. Central Time. Tune in, and if you can donate, please do. I'll put links in the show notes. And I am still going to a Catacomb next month. Look me up if you're there, get a bookmark, and maybe we'll play some games together. Also, next month, on November 15th, check out Minna and Madge in a new podcast, Ironhides, hosted on the OneShot Network. It's a Weird West actual play podcast using the Monster of the Week system. They've got a great cast, and you should definitely give them a listen when the show goes live. Next, let me tell you about this month's featured charity. Asada's Daughters is a Chicago organization that supports, serves, and uplifts women-identified young Black people. The group provides education to Black girls and women in radical Black feminism, political organization, and liberation. They offer educational programs and workshops, organize protests and resistance actions, and maintain a community garden for the neighborhood. If you can spare a few dollars, consider donating. Election Day is fast approaching in the U.S., so please make a plan to vote. Check your registration to make sure you stay registered, and when you can, take action against voter suppression in your area. Voting isn't the only thing we can or should do to fight back against the horrible things that are happening in our government, but it's an important thing. So make sure that you and as many people as you can drag along with you are able to get to the polls. Now then, let's get started, shall we? We open basically where we left off last time with this massive fire burning in the middle of the docks, right around the Ink Row district, where newspapers and tattoo parlors and apartments and other businesses are all crowded together. We see this massive fire consuming buildings. There is a huge crowd of people in the street being held back by a line of blue coats. The wagons of the brigade are rushing back and forth from the fire to the canals carrying water to try and get the fire contained. Duskwall is a very crowded city. There's not a lot of space between buildings, and a fire like this, if it's not controlled quickly, could very easily spread and take out an entire district, and if it jumps any of the canals, then it could put the entire city in danger. So there's a lot of very frantic activity trying to get this blaze under control. And we see the Magpies having all just rolled out of bed and rushed over here at the edge of the crowd. And what are you doing as you get there?
I think we need to look for our reporter friends, yeah?
Yeah, I think we're looking for them.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking around, you're calling for them, you know, a few minutes go by without seeing or hearing anything, and then you hear, Minx? Minx, is that you? And you look to see, standing kind of at the one of the edges of the crowd, is Roxanne, who like waves at you to get your attention. As you head over, you see Lonnie is beside her. Both of them look like they kind of did the same thing you did, of just rolled out of bed and came over here. They just have like coats and shoes thrown on over like nightgowns. Roxanne's hair, which is normally done back in a braid, is like super fluffed out from sleep. Lonnie does not look at you guys, doesn't seem to be aware that you're there, is just, she is just staring at this fire with a look of, it's that expressionless look that when somebody is so like pushed into shock and grief that they just kind of shut down.
Oh gosh, no.
Roxanne, like as you all get over, it's like, I'm glad to see all of you. What are you doing here? Were you over here, or?
We were woken by the bells. We were afraid that you might be hurt.
No, we, and she just like closes her eyes for a moment. We did come back to the offices for a while after we got the journal that you stole, and we were working on it and putting notes together. And then we went home a few hours ago, and, you know, we had a rule that work didn't come home with us. We never brought anything home.
Well, regardless, dears, we're just glad that you two are okay.
I mean, if we'd stayed a couple hours longer, and you all have noticed at this point that Lonnie is not facing any of you, but Roxanne is still signing everything that you all and she are saying, seemingly just kind of out of habit. And yeah, she's just looks up at all of you with just this like grief in her eyes. It's like, everything was there. Everything we had on the circle.
Those things can be replaced. I think the most important things were not there.
No. Hope nobody else got hurt in the fire.
Roxanne just kind of like shakes her head and is like, I'm pretty sure that not everybody made it out the way that these places are built and packed in here.
We're sorry we roped you into this.
We roped you. Remember? We came to you those months ago asking for help.
Well, it's our problem now too.
I guess so. And I think on that, we sort of fade out and fade back in on the front page of the Duskfall Daily, which is dated about 3 days after the fire. And there's kind of a few headlines on the page. One of them is talking about resources for people displaced by the fire. Another headline says that the manhunt for the Magpies for the assassination of Ambassador Abrathy continues.
Oh, the assassination, because she's an ambassador, Jesus Christ. And we did it at a high security club.
You're on the front page, but you're not the top headline anymore.
That's good.
Because the top headline now reads, City Council plans reconstruction for Ink Row. By Anita Argent, staff reporter. Following the catastrophic inferno that consumed numerous residences, businesses, and tragically, the offices of the North Hook Mirror, the City Council has moved swiftly to aid the displaced citizens. Nearly 300 people have lost their homes in the wake of the blaze, and as of this printing, over 90 are still missing and presumed deceased. Fearing a massive spirit outbreak, the spirit wardens have maintained vigil over the site for days, fending off unscrupulous and vile whispers and spirit traffickers who would unleash the ghosts upon Duskwall. But even in the wake of such tragedy, the citizens of the docks have something to look forward to. The City Council, led by Lady Eleanor Penderin, has approved Lord Alistair Mora's bid to purchase the destroyed blocks, and the Daily has gained exclusive information about his plans. Lord Mora intends to build a modern weapons factory on the site, along with worker housing, providing jobs and residences for the displaced citizens. By building the factory on the docks, imported materials and exported goods can be moved and sold at greater speeds. He and the City Council hope that the factory will be the first of many changes coming to the struggling district.
Have they no shame?
Beside the article is a like an artist sketch of the planned development. It's a three-story factory that takes up about two-thirds of the space, and then kind of wedged in behind it is a tall, narrow tenement building. Where do we find you all reading this article?
I like to think we're all sitting at our table at the Hound's Paw.
Mm-hmm. How are we reacting to
not
this?
Not great!
Yeah.
Not great at all!
Minx hasn't, like, done herself up all that much. She's wearing pretty plain clothes, her hair is down, and for a very rare occasion, looking just kind of like a normal person.
In particular, how is Finn reacting to this news?
Yeah.
So, from basically from the moment that she glances Lord Mora's name on the page, she has just been up and pacing back and forth, basically across the whole length of the Hound's Paw, and just not stopping, and is trying to keep composed, and it's definitely barely working.
Finn?
Yeah.
Is it just what it is that they're planning?
Nope.
Do you want to talk about it?
So, before I was in this with you, Chael and I, we did some stuff back on the docks because there was a gang that had been hired by a noble to basically extort people and take their money and make sure that no one could basically do anything other than live in terror. And it took ages, and we barely pushed them out. Lord Mora is the one who hired them. And I'm thinking he's gonna... Whatever he's gonna do with this weapons factory, it is not gonna be good. He's not gonna treat those people well. The ones that are gonna be working there, the tenement building, it's gonna be a nightmare.
Indeed, and this development is rather unsubtle about that.
Yeah.
Finn, I'm sorry. I had no... It has to be... He has to have been involved in the fire, surely. He's profiting off it anyway.
Yeah.
I can't think that they would throw something up that quickly if they hadn't planned on it.
The Circle of Flame did it. He's just throwing gasoline on it.
Or he's a member.
I mean, that too. I don't know.
The fact that he's involved makes this a whole lot more personal than it was before.
I don't even know where to start with confronting this.
I mean, we have a name and something we want to prevent. At the very least, we have a target.
Is that a good idea? Don't you think we should lay low right now?
You guys are free to lay low if you want, but I'm not going to sit back while this happens.
How many more people are going to get hurt while we lick our wounds?
We're part of this, whether we want to be or not. We helped light that match. We got mixed up in it, and now it's getting bigger than we expected.
So how do we stop it?
My first instinct is just to kill Lord Mora, but I know...
That won't end it. That's cutting off one head. Two more will grow back in its place.
Then we make it impossible to start building anything there.
Sabotage the spot?
Sabotage the spot, get people to start fighting back against Lord Mora and the city council in that area specifically.
How did you get rid of the gang back on the docks?
Chael and I got together a group of kids like us who were sick of being pushed around. We started fighting back.
So we do that?
We do that.
It's sounding like we're wanting to move into gathering info and starting to figure out a plan of attack here.
Are we sabotaging the site or gathering people? What is happening here?
It sounded like both.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible you could find ways to sabotage it where it would be, you know, possible to be reclaimed and rebuilt.
Just give people a squat on it forever.
The other issue is that right now the area is basically under complete lockdown by both the Bluecoats and the Spirit Wardens. Because at least, according to estimates, at least 90 people died.
That's 90 angry ghosts.
Yeah, probably more than that with the way that these kind of estimates tend to shake out.
Mm-hmm.
So the Spirit Wardens are on the highest of high alert because, like, that would be a massive just spirit outbreak there.
So I think Myra's going to set up, hear me out. I know this probably isn't the easiest or best idea. You said, Finn, that you had success with getting people to band together.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, a big worry there is the 90-some folks who died in the fire. I think we've got a lot of anger there that if we could harness it, if we could get them on our side.
A ghost riot?
Oh, dear.
What?
Ghost riot! And, like, she raises her arms, and I think, like, the entire bar just kind of, like, goes quiet. You hear a fork clank.
Rigney is at the bar and just, like, puts a hand to his face and shakes his head.
Let's not scream ghost riot in the middle of a crowded bar. How about we not do that right okay. now at this very second?
I'm sorry.
It's fine. You didn't know.
I got excited.
Yeah, I know you got excited.
Being said, as unsavory as the prospect is, it is a smart plan, I think. Surely it can't be worse than our experiences in the Lost District.
Oh god, why would you tempt me like that? I mean...
Finn, like, raises a finger to, like, be like, ah, and then just closes her mouth in a thin line and takes a long sip of her drink.
Well, it sounds like Myra and Blair would be the experts in this situation. I say just tell us what we need to find out.
If I can convince as many ghosts as I can, and I don't know, maybe if I also bring my own, I think we can do this.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
How many ghosts do you have?
She starts counting on her fingers. She pauses for a second. Oh, no, not that one. And then she, like, backtracks, counts again. At least 8.
Oh my god!
Have you been keeping those in our home?
In jars, yeah.
Blair?
Mm-hmm?
Remember how, Myra and the rest of us said no ghosts in the house?
But they're in my room in jars, it's fine!
Oh, these are the ones you pick up and plant.
Yeah, the ones in my room, you know, because nobody's allowed in my room, it's fine.
Oh my god.
Alright, well, you think you can convince them to
Blair.
Help?
Mm-hmm?
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Spirits, they need energy, correct?
Yes.
If they don't take it off the living, they take it from spirit? Well, are there other, like, sources of energy?
I think that Blair visits the Deathlands rather regularly to set her collection free. She kind of has a rotating collection of guests that she keeps. And when she isn't able to go to the Deathlands, I imagine there has to be some way she can maybe just harvest a little bit from the spirit well in maybe like an ectoplasmic form, and she's very good at feeding them.
If that is Blair's solution when she can't get out to the Deathlands, that means Blair knows where there's a spirit well in the city.
Yeah.
I mean, I was suggesting that if we want spirits on our side and relatively not likely to possess us, I would hope that we have some means of feeding them that will keep them satisfied.
Yes.
It may even be a bargaining chip.
Yeah, we could try. What I was proposing was that we would go over to Inkrow, and I would release some of my own spirits because they know me, they're friends, and they trust me. And they would probably help us gather around the spirits that are already there to, you know, start a ghost riot.
Long-term, what happens with them is the question I have.
What if, idea. What if, after the riot was quote-unquote done, I don't know how long riots take, I've never participated in one, but when it's done, we could lead them all over to the spirit well and they could just hang out there until however long. You know, they could just hop in there and they might be able to find their way around.
Okay.
You're smart.
They can go through spirit wells?
Mm-hmm. They're like fabrics of space and time and reality. So they just like dive in there.
Huh. I didn't know that.
I wouldn't suggest going down there yourself, though. That'd be bad news.
I wasn't aware that's what spirit wells were. I just knew they could maybe feed ghosts.
Well, yeah, but it's kind of like, it's more like shoving your face into an all-you-can-eat buffet kind of thing. Only theirs is, like, literally bottomless, you know?
Imagining an all-you-can-eat buffet that becomes a tunnel.
Yeah, that's it. You got it.
Oh my god.
That's certainly an interesting metaphor. Thank you for that.
So, a question that I'm going to put out here. What is the target for the riot? What is the end goal of the riot?
Drive away the Blue Coats and the Spirit Wardens.
and try to get the people who lived there previously to, like, reoccupy the space.
Yeah, exactly. So my suggestion was going to be that we keep the ghost thing going at least long enough for some squatters to get in there and fully establish themselves.
We let the riot, you know, play out as long as it needs to. Then I can lead them to the nearest spirit well.
And then in the meantime, we whip up some of the populace to move back in once the ghosts move out.
Yeah.
Could work.
Honestly, this sounds perfect.
So it sounds like a two-pronged plan.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like Blair and Myra should probably handle the ghost side of things, and then Finn and I handle the mortal side of things.
Yeah.
Finn, are you comfortable with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Are we doing some gather information?
I believe we are. Let's start with team mortals.
All right.
I think a lot of the people who got displaced have ended up in Char Hollow. Yeah, Char Hollow. I mean, Char Hollow is where Myra is from. It's, you know,
poor but honest.
Yeah, it's working class, but there's a very strong community there. So I think that is the kind of place that would actually be willing to take in the displaced people of the docks. And even if they weren't willing, they do not have the ability to sort of resist the city being like, these people are here now. And I think it's literally just like, after the, you know, the fire, they just sort of moved everybody through Crow's Foot down into Char Hollow and were like, all right, here you go. Good luck.
Womp.
So I think where a lot of people have ended up is Char Hollow Market, which is typically a public market that kind of occupies a large open square. Craftspeople who live in the area will sell things to the community. The market has basically shut down because you just have 100, 150 people who have staked out little corners of the square with families and whatever few belongings they were able to save. There's a number of representatives from the Weeping Lady kind of moving through the crowd. The Weeping Lady is a charity, sort of religion, kind of, sort of, not really. It honors the first Lord Governor of Duskwall, Lady Devara, who is said to have been a champion of the poor. So this is an organization that, you know, has some soup kitchens and, you know, a handful of shelters and things like that. They are in no way sufficiently funded or supplied to deal with a crisis of this scale, but they are doing their best.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a handful of people who are just kind of from the area who are trying to help out as much as they can. But it's a pretty crowded, miserable scene of people who have just lost everything and don't really have anywhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what Finn and Minx come upon as they reach this spot in the district.
That gives me an idea.
Well, what's your plan?
I know. I guess, like, my gather info slash setup thing is to figure out how much it would cost to get, like, good humanitarian efforts into the area.
So are you thinking, like, just in terms of kind of taking care of the people immediately, or what you would need to do to...
So that if they move back into their burnt-out districts, they can actually, you know, stay there?
Okay. Finn, what is your plan here?
I'm going to try and talk with some of the people who used to live in the district on the block, to try and get information.
Okay. Let's start with Minx. So yeah, you're just going to approach older man. Looks like he's probably like late 50s, early 60s, mostly bald, kind of hunched posture. I think that for the Weeping Lady, it's just like they all sort of have a like an emblem or patch type thing that they wear somewhere on like their clothing. So he has one just on his chest. And as you approach, he looks over and squints at you a little bit because you look too well dressed, energetic to be one of the...
Well, I am dressing down still, technically.
Even so.
If this is Minx we're talking about.
Yeah, well, but like, even if Minx is wearing like clothes appropriate to Char Hollow, you still look better off than the refugees.
Right.
So he kind of squints at you and is like, can I help you with something?
It's more that I wish to help you. Yes.
He kind of like, when you say it, he like brightens and is like, yes, that help would be wonderful. I think at this point you should make your roll. We'll see how this conversation plays out.
Yeah. That's a 2, a 3, and a 1.
Oh, boy.
So you offer help, and this man kind of like straightens up and looks very pleased with it. It's like, oh, wonderful, wonderful, and takes you by the arm and leads you over towards a wagon loaded with the most basic of rations, like, you know, mushroom flour bread and, you know, dried seaweed. And just kind of like he starts loading a basket and is like, if you can help distribute this to the families on the east side, that would be wonderful. You can ask a few questions while he's loading this basket up, but you're going to get limited information.
Yeah, I suppose that's no problem. Although I was wondering if there's a larger scale way I could help.
Well, you would, if you wanted to talk to someone higher up, you'd want to see Mother Narya in the Arms of the Weeping Lady over in Six Towers. She more or less runs the organization right now, but unless you have more money than Lord Mora, I'm not really quite sure how much help you'd be able to be. And he turns with the basket and kind of like puts it into your arms.
Indeed. So I guess I'm kind of roped into helping out now a little
bit. Yes, yeah. You get sent off to distribute food to some of the people who are here. What we see is, like, the camera follows Minx as she's, like, toting this basket of food, and she passes by Finn, who's, like, I imagine kind of crouched down talking to some people, and the camera, like, swings around and stays with Finn. So what was your approach here in finding somebody to talk to?
Yeah, I think it was, my priority was finding people that I knew or who looked vaguely familiar.
Let me do a fortune roll to see if you were able to find any. It's a 2 and a 1.
I know nobody.
Yeah, there's like a couple faces that look vaguely familiar, but like they're kind of like you see a guy who you recognize, you're like, I feel like I know you, but he's asleep. Mm-hmm. Other people are like talking to others. So you kind of walk around a little bit as you're sort of looking for people who you know, and you end up standing sort of on the edge of, you know, a little area where there's 2 or 3 young families of younger adults with a number of children, most of whom look like none of them are probably older than 10. All of whom have kind of bunched together around an older woman who looks like she's from the Dagger Isles. She looks old, but you're not sure if she actually is as old as she looks. She has that kind of like weather-beaten skin that says that she spent decades on the sea, you know, out in the wind and the salt. And she seems to just be kind of keeping an eye on everyone. Like, she's got a few kids that she is taught, like, kind of telling stories to while it looks like parents are, like, sleeping or talking to each other. Mm-hmm. And she looks up at you as you come over and, you know, looks you up and down and is like, do you need something, miss?
I was just looking for someone to talk to, someone who is in the Inkwell District.
And she just kind of gestures around and is like, that was all of us.
Yeah, you looked like the sort, not to judge or anything.
She shrugs.
Yeah, I grew up on the docks. My family were fishers, so when I heard about what happened, it was devastating.
Yeah, it's, I worked security at a tattoo parlor's over there, and not quite sure what any of us are going to do now.
Yeah, it's not something any of us could really prepare for. Have you heard about what Lord Mora is planning to do with the area?
She, like, scowls and spits off to the side. It's like, yeah, we've all heard.
Yeah. I'm part of a group that's planning on making a move against Lord Mora.
As soon as you get that far, she holds up a hand to, like, silence you. Looks down at the kids and is like, all right, dears. Me and this nice lady need to have a grown-up chat. So why don't you run on back to your parents for a little bit? And there's some like, no, you were in the middle of the story. Come on. She's like, well, if you're good and don't whine, I'll finish the story. But for now, go on. Shoo. And there's like some grumbling from the kids as they head back to their parents. And she gets up and, like, kind of walks you off a few steps down an alley, more away from people. And at this point, go ahead and make your roll. So we'll see how this plays out.
Yeah, I'm guessing this is going to be more of a consort.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a 5.
Okay. She crosses her arms and gives you an appraising look and is like, what group?
The magpies.
Her eyes narrow even further, and she's like, well, either you're fucking with me because you read a headline, or you're the real deal, and you're going to bring the blue coats down on all of us.
I'm gonna show the magpie tattoo that I got in my hand.
She kind of, like, lets out a breath, like, hissing between her teeth. Look, I am sure you probably had very good reasons for what you did, and I mean, I'm certainly not going to shed any tears over dead nobility, but what are you doing here? What do you expect to get out of any of us, any of these people?
I've driven him out of the docks before, and I want to do it again and make it so that he can never hurt anyone again.
Well, you're certainly not lacking for ambition.
Yep. Well, I don't really aim small here.
Let's pretend, hypothetically, that I was going to entertain your plan. What are you thinking?
So what we have in mind is we're going to rile up some of the spirits of those who are lost, and we're going to clear out the area for a couple of days, during which time you'll be able to get in and set up something similar to what you currently have here. And then when the blue coats and the spirit wardens eventually come back, that's when we start fighting.
That is probably the craziest plan I've ever heard. I spent 30 years as a privateer.
I've done crazier.
There's a lot of people who aren't going to be willing to take the risk. There's a lot of people with kids and who aren't going to be willing to put them in the line of fire like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can ask around and see who would be willing.
I'm not asking for every single one of you. I'm just asking for a handful. That's all we need to start pushing back, and once a handful of us start fighting and succeeding, then more and more people are going to join in.
All right. Well, I'll see what I can do. This is crazy. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, I am well aware.
All right. I guess it's better to try and do something than just sit here. And she kind of gives you a respectful nod. I'm kind of like, this is ludicrous, but I like it.
Nice.
and she heads back to where she was before. So we will cut over to Myra and Blair.
Ooh.
Myra and Blair both go back to the nest.
Mm-hmm.
Myra goes to the bookshelves or wherever you all keep your collection of maps and things, and, like, spreads them out all over the table. And Blair heads up to her room to talk to one of the 8 ghosts that she was keeping in her room without telling anyone.
There's probably more. She thought you all knew.
She looks under the bed and is like, oh crap, I forgot about you.
Yeah.
So let's start with Myra.
Mm-hmm. I got a 5.
Okay. Yeah. So you like spread out all of the maps that you have and pore over them for a while. And you are able to find a route.
Past the spirit wardens and the blue coats, probably.
Yeah, without having to go through them.
Yep. Which is all that I wanted.
But it's not the most ideal route, because in order to get, you know, anybody in from, like, if you were going to bring people in from Char Hollow through there, Char Hollow is to the south of the ruined area. The entrance is to the north. So you would have to bring anybody, like, you would have to somehow sneak a whole bunch of people up through the docks. Myra has found a way in. Blair, tell us about your many, many ghost friends.
Blair goes into a room and she locks the door, as she does. Nobody's allowed in Blair's room. That's her space. And also, because if anybody touched anything that they weren't supposed to, it'd probably be terrible for everyone involved. And she goes to one of the shelves in a room where there are multiple jars lined up. These are the main ones that she can recall off the top of her head. Her room's a little disorganized, but the ones on that shelf are basically her to-do list, the ones that she's planning on getting out through Deathlands one way or another. And she just goes down the row, tries to remember which she most recently caught, because she imagines that if
she'd let that loose to talk to you for just a hot minute, it would not be as angry about being cooped up for so long. So she goes all the way down the row and she picks up the jar that she thinks is the most recent, and she is going to twist that open. I'm going to roll a tune.
Mm-hmm.
Six!
Okay, who is this ghost? Who'd you catch?
This ghost is a chorus woman.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Nell, and you rescued her from a somebody who is transporting a couple of spirits to a trafficker.
I like that. Okay, I rescued her from a trafficker, and her name is Nell. So Blair's just gonna wait. Hi, Nell.
Nell has been, like, you consider, you know, ghosts to be people.
Exactly. Yeah.
But even so, majority of the ghosts that you interact with are at best beings of like pure rage and hunger. They're not super coherent. Nell has been like weirdly normal.
Huh.
And she kind of comes out and like actually kind of like stretches a little bit and is like, oh, I hate that thing.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to get you out as soon as possible.
Well, what's the reason that you have let me out now?
I actually have something to ask of you. And if you're interested, it actually does involve you being outside of the jar for a little while.
I see.
My crew is planning to do a ghost riot down in Inkwell.
There's a long, long pause. While this ghost just stares at you and then says, I beg your pardon.
A ghost riot. Okay. So, actually, what the plan is, you probably didn't know this, but it's a long story. Inkwell, like, totally caught on fire.
Let's just cut of, like, Blair explains the plan, because I think we've explained the plan possibly three times at this point.
Yeah.
So, Blair explains the plan to Nell, who is just like, I see. So, you want me and, she gestures at the rest of the jars, the others, to persuade 90-odd recently dead, traumatized, angry ghosts to attack the Blue Coats and the Spear Wardens.
I think between the, and she gestures at the jars, eight or so among us. I mean, we're probably the best people for the job. I feel like, listen, those people were wrong. They would jump at the chance to go after those Blue Coats and Spear Wardens.
I worry that you're about to unleash something that you're not going to be able to control, but...
But with your help!
I can try.
And by the time it's all over, you all can go to Spirit Well. Or, if you want to come back with me, and I can get into that thing either or. But you're free to do what you want, basically. Except, you know, harm the citizens, because we're planning to move them back in there.
So she kind of nods, considering it's like, I have an alternate proposal.
Go on.
While I was with that trafficker, I heard talk of a group of spirits who I suppose are more like me. Not driven by...
The Reconciled.
Not driven by hunger and vengeance. Rather than going to a spirit well or the Deathlands, I would like to join them.
Oh, yeah, if you think you'll be happy with them, you can go there if you want.
I am not sure where they are or if they have a central location or anything, but I think I will have more success with them, and I could attempt to find them in the meantime before your riot and see if any would be willing to aid.
The riots are starting pretty soon, but I mean, the more fools, the merrier.
I will see if I can find them, but I will come to the docks either way and assist you in this.
Okay, promise me you'll come back and tell me what you did.
I will.
Okay, thank you so much.
I can at least speak to these others and likely persuade them to help as well.
Okay.
Also the two you have under your bed.
Oh shoot, I almost forgot about them. And she quickly scurries off and like reaches for the rolled jars and she just hugs into her chest like, oh, I'm sorry.
I think when you come back up, Nell is gone. But yeah, so she's at least going to be able to sort of help with the ghost that you know about, and she might be able to round up some additional help. I'll have to make a roll for that.
Ooh.
Yeah, is there anything else that you guys want to do in terms of prep work? A way to talk to the ghosts. You have a way in to the Lost District. Or not the Lost... Jesus.
the soon-to-be lost.
Yeah, you have a way into the destroyed Ink Row. So are you guys ready to kick this off?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So you've come back together, you've shared your plans, everybody is kind of in the common room with weapons and maps and vials of stuff and climbing gear and explosives and just all of the stuff that you all take on your scores kind of spread out, and everybody is sort of sorting through things. And yeah, what's the mood like? What are you guys talking about?
I think Blair, at least, is very cheerful. She's chatting on about how Nira's going to help, and she's funding these people that I've never heard about before, and this is such a great plan, etc., etc.
Finn is picking up a blade and, like, tossing it into the table and, like, basically stabbing the table repeatedly to keep herself calm about the whole thing.
Finn, remember to keep it to your portion.
Yep, I'm keeping within my limits.
I think Myra's gonna sit down next to her and put a hand on the wrist that is not playing with the knife. All right.
I'll be better once this is all over with.
I don't think this is a thing that's gonna be over quickly, even with tonight's work done.
I mean, eventually, I'll be okay. I'm fine with not being fine, if that makes any sense.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Because I thought I'd shoved this guy far enough back to keep him away from the docks. He just came back in and decided to take advantage of a tragedy. Or even cause a tragedy, because he might be part of Circle of Flame, and if he is, it's gonna be twice as great.
That's what these people do. It's good to feel like we have the power to do at least anything against it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that you did this. Back before, when you were just on the docks with friends, I can't imagine.
Well, I had Chael with me. They helped a lot. They were a whole lot more experienced than I was. So.
Trying to compliment your bravery, silly.
So. I am not great at compliments. I'm glad that I have all of you with me this time.
Aww.
Well, it's true. You're all way better friends than I had ever anticipated, and I'm glad that we're in this together, no matter what happens.
Oh, Finn! And Blair's just gonna throw arms around Finn.
We're very glad you're here, too.
So, I think on that, we cut over to the northern edge of Char Hollow, where there's a group of you're guessing maybe like 30-odd people have come together. They're not super well-equipped. Most of them look like they're totally unarmed. A few have, like, daggers or knives, or, you know, there's a couple people with, like, truncheons, but it's not a well-equipped or well-organized group, but they're there. And when you two show up, the woman that you spoke to previously, who you, in other conversations as you've kind of been organizing this, have learned her name is Irma.
Mm-hmm.
She sees the two of you and kind of walks over and is like, this is everybody who was willing to get back in there and put their lives on the line for our homes, so hopefully it's enough.
It was more than I thought we were going to get. I was expecting like 12.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people who are pissed off and desperate and quite literally have nothing left to lose, so...
Yeah. Anger is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, we got that in spades here. So, what's your plan, just kind of to sort of work your way up to the tunnel entrance on the docks?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a big group of people.
Yeah.
And I think even if you guys kind of split up into smaller chunks, you still sort of have to stay kind of close together.
Mm-hmm.
And as you are sort of moving this group through the streets of Crow's Foot, as you two kind of come around a corner, you find yourselves facing a trio of blue coats blocking your path. And the guy in front's like, what's all this then? Some kind of party that we didn't hear about?
No, we're simply entering to retrieve some belongings.
You're not allowed to do that.
Well, I'm sure you can make an exception.
Time to make a roll.
Fight the police.
Do you wanna do that as a group action, you two?
Yeah.
Sure.
What are you rolling?
Should we do consort or sway?
This feels like a sway.
Yeah,
you guys
are lying like liars who lie.
I got a 6.
Nice.
I got a critical.
On my one dice.
Yo, that's frightening.
There's 3 of them and like 30 of us. What are they going to fucking do?
The rest of the group kind of starts coming around the corner behind you and like building up. And there's some murmuring and shifting. Mm-hmm. In the crowd of them kind of getting agitated and restless. And the blue coats look at the two of you, look at the crowd building up behind you. The 3 of them exchange a look, and one of them is just like, man, it's not fucking worth it. Let him go in there and get possessed or whatever. We didn't see nothing. And the one in the lead who had stopped you was just kind of like, yeah, screw it. And they're just like, fine, whatever. We didn't see you, you didn't see us, and they just walk off.
Damn. All right.
Thank you, dears.
Have a good evening, gentlemen.
Guys destroyed that roll. and I think because that was so successful from both of you, you make it up to the secret passage entrance without any other trouble.
Nice. Excellent.
Yeah, there's a couple points where you kind of have to like slow down and wait for like other groups of people to go by or, you know, other blue coat patrols, but nobody else stops you or interferes.
God, I'm just imagining, because it is a very like hot, humid, and still night here, I'm just imagining it's like a really, really still night and there's just like the fog creeping up from the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
And you can just like feel the tension in the air.
Mm-hmm. As this group descends into the tunnels, we'll move over to Blair and Myra. Where are you two? Have you already headed in to try to do stuff with the spirits?
Mira said she was going to meet us at the dock, so I feel like we have to go there.
Okay, cool. Maybe this, we showed up a little bit earlier before Minx and Finn and Co. showed up.
You two are, like, in the ruined block. And it's just a bunch of burned out, collapsed buildings. It's, nothing's really smoking anymore, but that smell of smoke and ash and everything is still really heavy in the air here. You know, it's very dark. You're sort of picking your way amongst the rubble. So as you're sort of picking your way along, Blair, there's kind of a faint chill and a light little breeze. And then you hear Nira's voice go, oh, good, you're here.
You made it.
I did. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make contact with any other spirits. But assuming that we make it through all of this, I will continue my search. I think at that point, a bluish light starts to sort of sweep across the ruins. Blair, you recognize this. It's something that the spirit wardens use to basically just illuminate ghosts.
It's kind of like a UV light kind of thing.
A little bit, yeah, yeah. So it's just sort of slowly sweeping across the ruins straight towards the 3 of you. And I assume the many, many jars of ghosts that Blair is carrying.
Well, I can only carry about 2 at a time. I was actually going to ask you, can I roll, well, not a roll, can I do a flashback to say as a contingency in case Nira wasn't going to be able to work this out that I brought 2 from home with me?
I would say if you want to do a flashback, you could say that you, since you knew where this tunnel was, you moved the other jars in here already.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, that's going to be a 1 stress flashback.
That's fine. I'll take it.
So yeah, I think that like that's where you were heading to. Like you were picking your way over to where you had all of these jars stashed. So you've just gotten there and you've got this light that you know if it hits you is going to light up Nira and these like 10 spirit jars.
Is there any way we can get underground real quick from here?
If you run back to where the tunnel is.
Mira, I need you to phase out. Someone's coming.
She kind of looks and sees the light and is like, I see. And just like drops down into the ground.
Blair is going to scoop up as many jars as she can. I want to say she can probably carry.
Myra's going to help.
Oh, thank you. She's going to scoop up about maybe four. I think she can carry four in her arms, and she's going to make a break for the tunnel.
Okay. Myra, how many are you going to try and grab?
The rest, if possible.
Oh my
okay,
god.
That's six.
Oh god, never mind. I miscounted in my head. Probably the same amount as...
Yeah, four is like, I'm imagining an arm full of jars.
Yeah.
So I am going to need you both to make some kinds of rolls to see how successful you are.
Would this be a prowl to get away? I would think so.
Probably. Prowl makes sense. You're doing a physical thing, running away, so...
Five.
I rolled a six.
Myra, you are just able to, like, run back really, really fast. You paid very close attention to the path that you took, so you avoid any, like, places where you would trip. Blair, you also sprint, but you aren't paying as close attention to the ground. You keep, like, looking back over your shoulder to see where the light is, and you trip, and, like, you don't fall, but you stumble a little bit, and one of the jars slips out of your grasp and shatters on the ground behind you, and the ghost comes out. You duck underground, and the ghost is just sort of floating there, confused, right as the light hits it and lights it up. The two of you are kind of like hunkered down in the entrance of this tunnel, clutching all of these jars, and you hear distant shouting, "We found one! Sector 3D! Move in!"
Blair, underground, just kind of squeezes her eyes shut. She's like, that was Balder. I was going to take him out next.
Next to, like, Blair's head, Nira just, like, pokes her head out of a wall. Oh. It's like, it seems things have become a bit complicated.
Maybe it's my fault.
How do you wish to proceed?
We kind of have to wait it out until the spirit warriors get out of here.
Just let them do it.
No. Well, I mean, there's nothing I can do if I try to rescue him. We give ourselves a break. I mean, at the very least, we can use him as a distraction, I guess.
I think it's probably kinder if the ghost is disposed of.
No! He was supposed to go to the Deathland.
Do you want to roam the Deathland? You know, this is not the time for this conversation.
That's where at least they won't be bothered by anyone. They can eat at spirit wells and, you know, take over whatever else lives out there. That's where they belong.
That spirit's not going to be aware of much for much longer. I don't think there's much we can do about that.
Myra's going to cover her eyes with her hands and just try not to cry.
I think Myra's just going to put a hand on her shoulder and just, like, watch.
Nira just sort of looks back and forth between the two of you and is like, would you like me to go and begin, perhaps, contacting the other spirits that are here to rouse them for your ghost riot?
Yeah, that's fine.
Very well. And she sinks back into the wall and disappears. From above, you hear footsteps kind of running through the rubble and, like, you know, things cracking as they move through. And then you hear a lot of loud, like, electrical zapping and popping sounds and a shriek. And then silence. Eventually, footsteps heading back. But I think by the time you hear the spirit wardens leaving, you can also hear, kind of coming up the tunnel behind you, is Finn and Minx and their whole posse. They can't come out of the tunnels until the ghosts are dealt with. What's your next move?
To start the riot, I guess.
Blair's going to wipe her face and try to get a hold of herself.
So, yeah, Nira said she was going to go and kind of start rousing some of the ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
What's Blair doing?
She's still trying to get a hold of herself. And by her, I also mean partly me.
Oh.
I feel like what she can do right now is at least open up the jars she already has and try to relay the plan and disperse all of her merry little elves.
Okay, yeah, you'll need to roll me something.
This will probably be a tune again, right?
Yeah, probably.
Five.
So, yeah, you have nine ghosts. You explain the plan. Four of them tell you in so many words, gusts of cold air, and angry gestures to go fuck yourself. And they just leave. They just take off.
Oh, okay, bye. I love you.
Be safe out there. God. Bless. God, I love Blair. So the other five ghosts, though, seem willing to hang around.
Woo.
Although they are kind of, you know, drifting around impatiently and...
I know, BB.
So I rolled a 6 for her fortune roll.
Yes.
So she comes back and again, like, pokes her head through the wall.
Yeah.
I was able to persuade them to turn their anger in a productive direction. And she just sort of points up. And if the two of you poke your heads up and look through the ghost field, there's a lot of spirits around here, sort of drifting around. And Nira looks back at you, Blair, and is like, I think they just need a bit more direction. I did what I could.
Blair is just looking up in wonder and just whispers under her breath,
Nira, you beautiful bitch.
Thank you, I think.
It was a compliment, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you a bitch.
She just sort of waves a hand. It's like, I told them to wait until you ordered them to move because I wasn't sure what the timing on your plan was. So she just sort of gestures.
I have an idea to call them to attention. I think that I have a piece of ectoplasmic food stuff from a spirit ball, and Blair's just going to take it out of one of her mini pockets and just hold it up.
Okay. I think for this, it's going to be, you're going to need to make another roll to see how well you do at getting their attention.
I feel like command, because I'm trying to, like, really get their attention. And
okay, have them, yeah.
Even though I have no ranks in command.
Do you want some help?
I would love an aid.
Okay, Myra, you'll take 1 stress.
I would also like to push myself to bring myself up to 2 die and take a higher.
Yeah, okay.
Yo, I rolled double 6s.
Shit.
Yes!
That's amazing!
Nice.
Oh, that's a lot of crits this episode. What's going to happen later?
Ghost Riot!
This is amazing. This is the best night we've ever rolled, I think.
So yeah, you hold this thing up, and what do you say to get them to start attacking?
Listen to me. I know you're all hungry, and I know that this little thing, and she's going to stuff it back in her pocket, is not going to be enough to go around for all of you. This is what we're going to do. I brought you all here because we're starting a riot. I need all of you to hail down vengeance upon the spirit wardens and the blue coats. Now that's with me for a ghost riot.
She's not very good at speeches.
It's so good, though. They're just kind of watching you with mild disinterest after you put the ectoplasm away. But as soon as you mention rain down vengeance, everybody seems to perk up.
Oh, yay.
And the ghosts fan out, heading just sort of outward. Some of them just sort of keep going out. Some of them sort of like dip down into the rubble and come up with like 2 or 3 other ghosts like trailing them.
It's beautiful.
And they just swarm outward. As they move outward, that blue light starts to sweep across again, and it's just lighting up dozens and dozens of ghosts, and you just hear this explosion of yelling and a panic coming from the edges of like, they're all coming up, but they're all coming up at once. This is
the best day of my life.
And there is screaming, and you hear more electric, like zapping and popping sounds. You hear gunshots firing. It is out kind of in the darkness around the edge of this ruined area. It is chaos.
Oh boy.
What is your next move?
What is the next move, actually? I've done my part.
I honestly didn't think we'd get this far.
You guys have rolled very, very well. I am starting racing clocks.
Oh, goodness.
So that basically means that we have two clocks. One clock is the ghosts drive off the guards, and the other is the spirit wardens defeat the ghosts, or at least to drive them off. Whenever you all are able to assist the ghosts in pushing back the blue coats and the wardens, their clock will tick up. And if there are consequences or negative rolls, the warden's clock may tick up as well. So, what are you guys doing? Who's doing what?
I would like to do a flashback.
Go ahead and do your flashback.
So, this flashback, I think that before they all started like getting involved in all this, Myra snuck onto the property through their like passage and set up like various like tripwires and shit, like in the area like that the wardens would have to come across to get to their entrance.
Okay. I'm gonna say, like Blair coming out here to plant her spirit jars, that's gonna be a one stress flashback.
We probably came at the same time, frankly.
Yeah. I think that we see kind of like we have that flashback of Myra stringing up tripwires and stuff, and then it comes back to the present and you see like a blue coat running and like firing electroplasmic shots and then just like trips and the gun goes flying and like a couple ghosts just like dive on him and there's a lot of screaming.
Good.
So, yeah, what are you guys doing right now?
Yeah, so we could go up there and start confusing guards.
Yeah, let's start some shit.
Okay.
They're throwing rocks!
So the four of you kind of rush across the ruins here and come up upon a group of blue coats, about six of them. They're kind of in a circle with their backs all facing in. They're not as well equipped to fight spirits as the spirit wardens are, but they have some stuff, like a couple of them have electrified truncheons, a few have pistols with electroplasmic rounds, and they're holding their own against the spirits pretty well.
I think, in order to weaken their line, trance powder to the face.
All right, it's one dose. You've got enough to take out one of them.
Yeah,
but yeah, you can do that. So,
yeah, I mean, just as long as there's like essentially a hole in them now.
Yeah, what are you gonna roll to do that?
I'm gonna roll a skirmish about it. Five.
Yeah, you get one of these guards just square in the face. This one guard kind of like goes slack and staring off into space and drops her pistol. But the two blue coats on either side of her very much notice you.
Yeah, I imagine so.
And turn on you with electrified truncheons. Mm. And they both, like, just without hesitation turn to swing at you. So you are going to be in a desperate position.
No!
Okay.
I'm going to use throwing knives to toss.
Fuck somebody up?
Yeah. That would be skirmish, right? Or prowl or finesse?
I mean, it could be any one of those.
Okay. I'm going to say it's going to be skirmish because I'm a little bit closer. And also I have two dice in that. I got a six.
Are you throwing at one of the people who is threatening Minx?
Yes.
Okay. Minx, you're like looking at this person. They like are raising the truncheon to swing down on you. And then all of a sudden, like three blades just dunk, dunk, dunk straight into their chest. And they kind of like look down and wobble on their feet and then fall backwards. Mm-hmm. Myra or Blair?
There's so many wonderful and awful ways I could mess somebody up in this situation.
I'll also say, while Kim is pondering her many options for mayhem, that five and that six are going to be enough to advance the ghost-winning clock by one.
Fabulous. I'm going to mark off one of my fun lightning hooks. I'm going to say that I have that and add that to my load.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I'm going to do a hit.
And this is going to continue to be risky.
I got it.
Okay.
Wow.
Great.
You whip out with your lightning hook, and the guard that you're swinging at blocks with their electric truncheon, and there's just this, like, massive crackle of electricity along these two weapons.
Oh.
And, like, you kind of both, like, stagger backwards and apart a little bit, but all of that crackling lightning snapping through the air zaps a bunch of the nearby ghosts, and, like, they're removed from play.
No!
We are moving up the warden's win clock by one.
That's not good at fighting.
She's good at other things, though.
She got all these ghosts to fucking go off, though, so.
Yeah.
Myra.
Myra is actually going to try and tempt a whole bunch of guards into one of the booby trap areas.
Okay.
I think she's going to, like, try and make it seem like she's, like, running away, but she knows how to get through that area and they don't.
Oh, okay, yeah.
What would a devil's bargain look like?
One of the ghosts gets distracted and starts going after you.
I'm going to go with the ghost one because I was going to suggest something like that, but I thought it might be too much. But that's always fun.
Yeah, go ahead and make your roll.
That's a 4.
I think on a 4, you have reduced effect. Only one of the guards gives chase, but so does one of the ghosts, who is seeing a couple of tasty treats go sprinting off and pursues. What kind of trap does the one guard who follows you fall into?
I think it's just a tripwire. Like, I think she set up a bunch of, at various angles. So he goes, tumbling over the rocks and hits his head.
Okay, yeah, I like that. And you are now kind of a ways off from the rest of your group, and you feel the cold chill of a ghost closing in on you. Who wants to go now?
I mean, I want to do a stabby.
Yeah, you're still in a desperate position.
Mm-hmm. I am, but I think the quickest way out of this desperate situation is to kill the thing making me desperate.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do a stabby. Also, I just realized I have second level harm. Does that mean I'm at -1 die for this?
Oh, yeah. What flavor of harm?
It's, is that
concussion? Yeah. Thank you for the reminder.
In that case, I'm going to push myself then.
Okay.
I got a 5.
Yeah, you stab this person. But it's one of those things where you both swing at each other at the same time. You stab them, and they hit their electric truncheon, into the side of your neck.
Eek. Ow.
Yeah, I will defend.
I don't know offhand how bodyguard works. Let me look at that.
When you protect a teammate, take +1 die to your resistance roll.
Okay, so you are just making the resistance roll instead of of Minx.
What will I be rolling?
You will be resisting getting electrocuted with prowess, and then you add your +1. So this is going to be 5?
4 or 5, yeah.
Yeah, some stupid number of dice.
6.
So you don't take any stress. So I'm just going to say you are able to lunge in here and dramatically negate the harm entirely because I like it.
Okay.
Minx stabs. This person is swinging the truncheon towards her neck. How do you stop it?
I want to do the cool thing where, my arm reaches out and gets in the way.
Yes, and just, you just, arm block and their arm just hits yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I can use that to start my move of just punching them in the face.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. 3?
So you take a swing at the blue coat, but Minx had also already, run this person through on her rapier. So they're already falling back. So, you take a swing and their face is just kind of falling back out of range. But as they sort of fall and you're able to get sort of a clear view of the field again, you can see that the wardens are overcoming their initial shock and have rallied and are starting to deal with the spirits pretty handily. So that clock for the warden win is pushed up to a 2 out of 4.
No.
Blair or Myra, who wants to act next? There's actually only 2 blue coats left in this immediate vicinity.
I feel like I gotta just do something to help even the odds of this. I want to do something arcane-like, some kind of arcane attack to whatever remaining blue coats in the vicinity.
Sitara's back in town.
Holy shit! That would escalate the situation immensely.
Would it escalate it in our favor, though?
Possibly.
Okay, fuck it. I'm gonna use
Arcanic
Woman's
Symbiote
real quick and I'm basing
this
Sitara.
You are?
I'm coming up with every terrible idea this session, why?
Alright.
The ghosts need to win. Listen, the wardens are halfway to winning this battle.
Yeah, I really need the wardens to not win this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pulling all the guns. I'm gonna use Arcane Implements and Symbiote real quick and I'm gonna summon Sitara. Is this gonna be an 18?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you want to push yourself or Devil's Bargain?
If I push myself, how many dice would that give me? 3?
That will give you another die. You'll take 2 stress.
Fuck it. I'll do it. I'll push myself instead of taking the bottom.
All right.
6.
Shit. All right.
Yes!
No, this is your fault.
This entire everything is my fault at this point.
Does anybody else on the Magpies know that I'm friends with the demon?
I don't think so.
Oh my God.
So the rest of you just see Blair crouch down, and then a very tall woman with, like, slicked back, sleek, dark hair, and a long, elegant, deep black gown with, like, little pinpricks of light that sort of moves as if it's, like, waves.
Ooh, she looks like the sea.
Yes.
Just sort of pops up in front of Blair.
Oh, gosh.
And looks down at Blair, raises her head, looks around the area, and then looks back at Blair with the faintest of smiles and says, "You seem to have found yourself in quite a situation, small one."
"Please, I need your help. The ghosts need to win this. We can't afford to lose."
"What do you wish me to do?"
"What you do best."
"Is that the only order you're giving her?"
Jesus Christ, please no.
Don't leave a fucking loophole.
No, it is not.
That's more loop. That's more hole than loop.
I need every single loophole in Spirit Warden gone.
In the city? That is a rather tall order.
I'm the docks.
She looks around, squints a bit at sort of the people that are out there, and then looks back down at you, and for the first time in all that you've known her, Sitara gives you a big shark-toothed grin and says, "It would be my pleasure."
Yes.
And she doesn't run. You wouldn't even really describe it as a charge. It's like watching a wave surge up onto the shore. She just crashes into another group of bluecoats, and it's pretty dark. So they're not super close. You can't see exactly what she's doing, but you can hear the screaming. The screaming goes on for a while. She's not being terribly quick about this.
Well, you can't rush on it.
Jesus. She doesn't linger with that group, but she doesn't seem to be killing them. She's just leaving them screaming in pain on the ground.
I mean, whatever works.
And we're going to tick your clock up another one. Because you just unleashed a fucking sea demon.
I'm the best at things.
This is so good.
Blair, dear, what the hell do you keep in your room?
I called reinforcements.
And she says that in a tone as in, like, we will talk about this later.
Meanwhile, Myra.
I've still got a ghost on me.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to convince the ghost that, hey, we're on the same side here, my dude.
How you want to do that?
I would like to consort about it.
Okay. It's going to be risky.
Well, you got a 5.
What do you say?
It starts, I realize it's coming towards me, and I hold up a hand before it gets too close and shout, "Hey, I am not the enemy here. The Bluecoats and the Spirit Wardens, they're the ones who are standing with the people who burnt down your home. I know what it's like when they just let the destruction happen, and I want to stop it too. So turn around and help me get rid of them."
The ghost kind of surveys you for a few long moments and then gives you sort of a slow nod and turns and drifts away. And you, like, let out a big sigh of relief. And it is at that point that the guard who tripped, who was behind you, slashes you across the back of the leg, like trying to hamstring you. Just gets you with a dagger. So it's going to be level 2 harm.
Wait. Armor, right?
Oh yeah, you could also
armor's
be armored.
Armor's a thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I haven't used any of my load yet. I'll use 2 on that.
Okay, yeah, then, yeah, I'll knock it down to level 1 harm. Instead of it being like you've had important muscles cut, it's now just like a gash on the back of your leg, and like, it hurts, but you can still run.
Thank you.
Yep. Let me give a summary of where we are. Both clocks are currently 50% filled. 3 out of 6 for the ghosts winning. 2 out of 4 for the wardens and bluecoats. in the little pack that you're dealing with right here, there are two blue coats left who look profoundly freaked the fuck out because a woman just appeared and then ran off and started murdering the ever-living shit out of their fellows. So they are, I think, probably kind of starting to back off from you.
Mm-hmm.
But there are still, like, a lot of blue coats and wardens and the like up. So do you want to deal with these two who are still here? Or do you want to just try to ditch them and go for other targets? What's your move here?
I want to go for a warden, please.
Okay. Finn, you see what looks like probably reinforcements coming. With, like, there's a spirit warden in the lead, and then behind them are some blue coats who are kind of fending off some ghost attacks, so they're a little slowed down.
Yeah. Can I down my rage essence?
Yep.
I love that we're just playing out all the stops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's season finale, man.
I know.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
You have enough of your, like, awareness to still recognize who your friends are.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you need to beat the shit out of every one of these goddamn motherfuckers who are enabling this system that just killed all of these people whose spirits are out here.
Yep. I'm gonna use my scary brass knuckles.
Okay, yeah.
I got a 3.
Oof, okay. I think what we see is Finn downs the rage essence, charges the spirit warden, and as she's rushing, a blue-coated arm with a truncheon just snaps out and clotheslines her.
Oof.
And she tumbles to the ground, and we cut away.
Sorry, guys.
Excellent. I have a flashback action. Before this all happened, I went to meet with Bazo and essentially pitched to him, listen, both the Spirit Wardens at this time in this place and the Bluecoats are going to be off balance in the same place and after a short scuffle, very easy to clean up. And I'm only doing it so the working folk can get their homes back. But we need help.
And I think you're meeting with Bazo in his office here. Yep. So he kind of surveys you for a long minute.
So I'm still kind of dressed down. My hair is down a little bit.
So Bazo considers you for a long moment after you make this proposal. He says, two conditions. One, you owe me. You owe me big. Next time I ask you and your crew for a favor, you do it. You don't get to argue. You don't get to negotiate. You just do it. Two, this is our show. The Lamp Blacks organized this whole thing. We get the credit. We get the loyalty of these people.
I'm not doing this for their loyalty, Bazo. Fine, you can play the hero in this.
And I think on that is where we cut back to coming up through some of the alleys and side streets, approaching this section of the dock, is a whole bunch of black-clad thugs that have streaks of coal dust on their hands and faces, and they kind of come up on the wardens and the blue coats and just start laying into them.
Yes.
Between that and fucking Satara is going to be enough to pretty quickly the wardens and the blue coats, the ones who are still standing, just retreat.
Oh, wow.
Some of the blue coats, you know, start trying to like fight back against the lamp blacks as they're sort of pushing back through the streets. Some of the wardens are still kind of trying to deal with stray spirits, but things have kind of quieted around all of you. Blair, in the distance, kind of rushing off down an alley, you see Satara chasing after some blue coats, and she disappears from view. So, Blair, Minx, Myra, the three of you are still kind of standing there amidst the wreckage. Where's Finn?
Has anyone seen her?
You don't see her anywhere.
Finn?
Finn, dear.
There's no answer.
I think Myra's, like, turning and, like, honestly, like, spots a random ghost and is like, have you seen Finn?
Ghost just sort of stares at you very blankly and drifts on.
She is panicking a little bit.
Yeah.
Minx is just kind of going to slump against a burned out post, dejected.
And Myra was kind of away from the group when all the shit went down, including mm-hmm. Finn donning rage at Essence. So she turns on everyone else and she's, what happened?
She, last I saw her, she downed her special vial and did her thing.
Oh, God. Who knows when and where she'll come down. You have to keep an eye on her when she does that shit.
I'm sorry.
As the three of you are standing there, you hear footsteps approaching, and you all sort of park up. He's like, oh, hey, maybe Finn's back. It's not Finn. It is Bazo, flanked by a couple of his lieutenants. He's got kind of a bloody cut on his forehead. Minx, what is Bazo armed Ooh. With? What's his weapon of choice?
That's a good question.
I have a suggestion.
Uh-huh.
One of those... Because lamplighters, they have those long sticks with, like, the things on the end that they use to light lamps. What if he just hits people with one of those?
Like he's turned it into, like, a spear or some shit?
No, like, he hits people with one of those.
He just beats like, he people
put,
with it.
Like, he put weights pole. Into it. Because like, it seems like it'd be, like, a decent thing to hit people with.
I like that. So, yeah, he comes over kind of, like, dragging his lamplighter's pole along behind him. And sort of looks the three of you over and is like... Well, when Ellie told me what you all were planning, I was pretty sure that she had lost what little remained of her mind, but you all were far more effective than I expected. He kind of, like, looks at Myra and gives you, like, a nod.
Myra nods back.
So, I here I've got some people to meet and get set up here. I'll have some of my crew work on defense. I'm sure that the poor bastards who used to live in this area probably aren't exactly trained in self-defense, so we'll help hold this position.
Indeed. Yeah, I'll just kind of nod towards the tunnel.
All right, well, good work, and remember our agreement.
Yes, yes, dear.
And he, like, winks at Minx, and yeah, him and his people head off. So what do the three of you then do next?
We need to look for Finn.
Yeah, no, I think Myra's going to stay out looking for Finn for a while.
Yeah, so the three of you comb the area, and there's no sign of her.
Well, at least this means she's likely not dead. She was probably taken.
We fade out kind of on the three of you, like, picking through the wreckage, and come back in on another front page of the Duskfall Daily. The big headline is Ghosts Overrun Warden and Blue Coat Position. Squatters Take Over Ink Row Ruins. Something along those lines. But then one of the columns off to the side is Avrathi Killer Arrested.
Oh no.
Oh dear.
And there is a sketch of Finn. And even in the sketch you can tell that she is bloodied and snarling.
Oh no, Finn baby.
Mommy, she's alive.
And the article outlines that she is being held without bail pending trial for the assassination of the Aruvian ambassador.
Did it say held without bail?
Held without bail, yeah. Article says that her conspirators are still missing. But with one member captured, they expect there's like a quote from a blue coat chief who's boasting that she expects to be able to catch the rest of the magpies very swiftly. You know, it pans out from that to a table in the Hound's Paw, which is totally empty. And it is the three of you, and Rigney comes over with four shots and sets them down and then kind of sits down in a chair with you guys for the first time ever.
Aww.
He, you know, is just like, I mean, I get why you did it, and I get why Finn would have wanted to do it. I mean, that's always been her way, her drive was standing up for those people, but...
She was right.
You really think it was worth it?
I don't know.
Those people have a place now. That's what she wanted. That's what I want.
Myra, what if they execute her?
That's not going to happen.
He's like, well, even if she only ends up in Iron Hook, that's still...
We're acting like she's not coming back.
She's going to come back. She's surprisingly resilient.
I don't know how surprising it is. And I think Rigney, like, picks up the shot and is like, to... to Finn.
To Finn.
To Finn.
To Finn.
That she comes back as soon as she can. And I think on all of them clinking their glasses, we cut to Finn, who is being marched down a hall in Ironhook. How's she look?
Not great. Because you said even in the sketch in the paper, she was looking pretty beat up. I feel like since that was drawn up, she's gotten even more beat up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would make sense.
They did some questioning.
It's very obvious that she's still trying to shake off the rage essence. Like, she's not looking completely there and is still... I feel like every so often she'll, like, try and step out of line and punch someone, but will get, like, yanked right back into line, and it still has handcuffs on, so...
Yeah, and so I think they march her down the hall. One of the guards unlocks a cell door, and then, like, two guards hold on to you, like, one on each shoulder while they unlock the manacles behind you,
mm-hmm.
and then a really hard shove into the cell. And Finn kind of, like, staggers on her feet and turns back around to look just as the cell door clangs shut.
Thanks for listening. The Magpies will be back in 2 weeks. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at @magpies_pod. The Magpies podcast is hosted and produced by Rhee. Follow me on Twitter at Rhiannon42. Blair Culhane is played by Kim Kogut. Follow her on Twitter at Kim Deanna Jones. Minx is played by Josie. Follow her on Twitter at Dragon Girl Josie, and watch her art streams at picarto.tv/DragonGirlJosie. Myra Keel is played by Minna. Follow her on Twitter at MinaMinar. And Finn Haig is played by Madge. Follow her on Twitter at MadgeQuips. The opening and closing theme music is from Trio for Piano, Violin, and Viola by Kevin McLeod, and is used under a Creative Commons license. The Blades in the Dark roleplay system is the creation of John Harper and is published by Evil Hat Productions.
So, out of character, I have the biggest grin on my face right now. This is so good.
I can literally feel us becoming vigilantes.
Yeah, I know. We even have a location that we're protecting.
Yep. Oh, it's so good. This is delicious.
Heroes!
Yeah, you poor things.